So, good evening. There's a couple of new faces. I want to welcome you. And our newest Sangha member is here tonight, and that's why so many people have goofy expressions on their faces. Is because when we see someone like that, the face like that, we just get goofy. His name is Travis. And it's been a few years since we've had young children here, and I'm just so delighted I hope he's a pioneer and will bring more kids here, because there's just something wonderful about him and all the people around him who are just kind of like we come back to our Buddha nature, or our kind of realization of the profundity and joy of life when we see a little one like that. So that's a gift, Amy and Doug. Thank you for coming. Travis was baptized here in the Buddhist tradition, and Amy and Doug were married here. So, real family. Tonight, I wanted to talk a little bit about what happens here in the mornings. Every morning we chant, we're sitting, it's this funny little group that sits in the morning, about a dozen people, and it's very quiet, actually, for Manhattan at 7:30 in the morning. And then the morning bell rings and we chant the verse of the robe. And we chant, vast is the robe of liberation, a formless field of benefaction. I wear the Tathagata's teaching, saving all sentient beings. And, you know, it just really kind of hits that sentimental side of me in the mornings when we chant that. This feeling of limitless boundlessness that somehow arises just by saying the words, and recognizing the fundamental freedom that we live in, that we forget all about in all our constricted pathways, like little rats running through a maze all day long. And just that reminder of the limitlessness, the boundlessness of our potential, of our life. If we could just let, you know, take away those blinders, and I think it was Yunmen said, to unpack the saddlebags and get back to what's really true. We forget it. We get so caught up. I know I have been so caught up lately with you know, the technological side of life, the emails and the and it's beautiful. All the advantages of being able to communicate and all the things that you can read and see and listen to, but it's overwhelming after a while. We forget, it becomes the opposite of what it is. It's vast and boundless, but it becomes very constricting if we forget that we're not tied to any of these narrow streams of data or information. So, vast is the robe of liberation. I think primarily what that liberation is getting rid of the kind of small way we have of looking at our lives. A kind of narrowness that we reduce ourselves to, and of course we reduce others to. We forget the joy that Travis is reminding me of tonight, the joy of and possibility of life. So I think this vast is the robe of liberation. This liberation is getting rid of those rigid ideas of the way we interpret our life, We need to really wait, you know, keep looking at that, and don't just go on those paths. Take a look. Ah, my interpretation of this, or that person, or what's happening in this circumstance. And really let it shift. Open it up. Liberation. A formless field of benefaction. This formless field is, you know, it's kind of like what Dogen talked about when he said dropping away body and mind, dropping away our ideas of self and other. It's very liberating to allow Travis's voicing, his sounds in this room, to allow that to be part of our experience of the formless field of benefaction, to loosen and drop away, let slip away our constructed ideas. And then, you know, it comes back, our regular way of interpreting reality. Oh, this is a door and I open the door. Right? But for a moment, if you could look at the door and not think of it as a door, there's a very interesting kind of rectangle there. Maybe not a rectangle. What would it be if it weren't always fixed with the words that we give it? A formless field of benefaction. You know, benefaction, we think of it actually technically as kind of a charitable gift, a kind of a bene good, faction doing, a good doing, a doing good. To me, that word is so satisfying. I love hearing it every morning. Benefaction just settles into the heart. Benefaction, doing good. The fundamental goodness that we all are, that is at the base of the Mahayana Buddhist teaching, each one of us holds this potential of benefaction within us, this doing goodness. When we are not fixed with our ideas, when we're imprisoned rather than liberated, then we cannot recognize this benefaction, which is automatically there when we let it drop. And many of you know this. You know how it feels after a period of meditation, a period of zazen. You know, for a brief moment when you stand before all the kleshas, before all the conditioning comes back, there's just this brief moment when there's just this vast, formless field of benefaction. And then, of course, you know, the relative truths come back, and everything has a name and a problem. And we thank goodness, because otherwise, you know, you go out on the street and start kissing people, and you'd be taken away. So we can use the relative aspect, but also to appreciate this absolute liberation, this formless field of liberation that arises out of the simple attention to our breath, out of the simple attention to our koan, to our body, to our presence. Out of that arises just this formless field. So beautiful. And there's a koan that I'm always reminded of when I'm chanting this verse, and it's from the Mumon Khan, which is the first full book of 50 cases, koan cases, that we study. And it's Uman, or Yunmen, and you may know him by that name, said, Look, the world is vast and wide. Why do you put on your robe at the sound of the bell? So, of course, when he's referring to that rakusus that we wear, which represent the teachings, or the okesa that I'm wearing, which also represents the teachings. So we could translate that into the world is vast and wide. Why do you put on the teachings at the sound of the bell? And, you know, in the morning when we sit, when we're chanting this vast is the robe of liberation, we've all put those on our heads. We put our okesas and our rakusus on our heads. And those of you who have not taken refuge, you just put your teachings, the Buddhist teachings, the reason you're here, on your head, kind of symbolically. So this is the question is this, why do you do this? And he says, the world is vast and wide. So again, it's sort of what I was pointing to before. He's saying it's not so constricted. It's not tight. It's not the small self. There's much more to it than that. There is the delight of snow sitting in a cluster on a branch right here in our town. The delight when the subway comes and it's not crowded. I think that's a delight. Oh! The delight of sharing a laugh with a friend. It doesn't have to be all kind of like spiritual. What's the difference? And also in this vast and wide world, there's a great deal of sadness. Of seeing the methadone crew. There's a crew of people that are on methadone that that come out of the clinic at about 7:05 in the morning. So I always run into them on the way to the Zendo because the clinic is right two stores down, right by the drugstore there. So almost every morning I see them on the street, I speak to them. And they're all, cause they've just had their methadone, so they're all kind of druggy, you know, and it tightens my heart because in my, I've known so many people whose lives have been so ruined by addiction that it's a sadness I see every morning on my way to the Zendo to chant, vast is the robe of liberation, you know, and I would love for them to have that liberation. And then there's I don't know if you've all been paying attention to the series. We now have 3 of the 5 series by Andrea Elliott about the young 11-year-old homeless girl. Boy, that's a Pulitzer piece, let me tell you. Please, if you haven't seen it, it's in the New York Times, and they've devoted an extraordinary amount of space to it. I mean, like half a page of photographs. It's really worth reading. And it's about a little girl whose name is Dasani. She was named after the bottled water. It's a beautiful name, huh? And then there's the part of us that's like, how could it be? How could someone name their child? But it turns out the mother was named after a perfume. And she named her daughter after this bottled water that had came out just about 11 years ago, Dasani. Her life is so constricted by poverty that it will break your heart to read. She's been living in a homeless shelter in a... All right. In appalling circumstances for the last 3 years, in one room with 6 brothers and sisters and a stepfather and a mother. and she is still filled with optimism and excitement about life. That's what makes it so heartbreaking, the story. And you feel when you read about her that, you know, it's very unlikely that she will actually be able to meet any of the promise that she has. She's very bright, but already she's beginning to fail at school. It will probably lead to another iteration of early motherhood, drugs, and futility. It's heartbreaking. And yet, when you read the article, what makes it so good is even in this family of this enormous disrepair, both the parents and addicts, and you recognize the very human qualities of love and resilience, hope. They're always hoping. Even the mother is still very lively and present in between her bouts of addiction or substance abuse. Even in this really appalling circumstances, you feel the love of this family. So, thank goodness for this writer who has given us an opportunity to really look at the real victims of the inequality that we're talking about in this country. The real victims of cutting back on places for people to live and the safety net. So we can thank her for reminding of us our responsibility. The social injustice is taking place right here where we live. Not in South America or in Africa, China, right here, the town we live in. All over the world, right now, at this time, there is death. People are dying. People are being born. All over this vast world, there is laughter and there are tears. And when we open our hearts to that reality, there is no separation. Then we're able to see the world without the lens of selfishness or a political position, defensiveness, anger, bias. We see a vast and wide world. And all we have to do is be tuned in to recognize what is happening. Without putting a big framework on it, we can participate in life itself. And we call that participating in our true nature. And yet there's no trace, you know. It doesn't look or smell like something holy. Look, the world is vast and wide. Why do you put on your priest's robe at the sound of the bell? What does that really mean? Does that mean that we just read an article in the Times and say, oh, I was really moved by that? Or is there some sort of imperative implicit in the world is vast and wide? Why do you put on your robe at the sound of the bell? Why do you not help those who are suffering? It's a good question to ask yourself. Why do you put on your robe at the sound of the bell? From a personal liberation perspective, we could say, why do you bother to sit? Why do you bother to come here on a Thursday night? You could be shivering outside. That's kind of like Dogen's famous question, you know. If we all are of the nature of Buddhas, if we all could recognize that the world is vast and wide, then why practice? Why not just go directly to the shelter? Why stop here and practice? So Dogen finally answered that by saying that we actualize our Buddha nature, we actualize our awakening by our practice of sitting. That's how it happens. And by extension, we could say we actualize the coming to the aid of the suffering by actually just doing it. Just like we, in order to awaken, we sit. Huh? Or is it that we sit and thus we awaken? So we need to take action wherever it's offered. You know, for over 2 weeks now, we've had a sign up asking for another volunteer to spend the night, one night every few weeks, at this homeless shelter up at the church, Episcopal Church around 14th Street. No one stepped forward to do that. But, you know, it's like one night. We had Ryoko, who is an old-time member of our Sangha, used to do that every 2 weeks. And it's because they need two people to be in the homeless shelter. It's for men who don't have any place at all to stay, and it's just a bunch of bunks in the basement of the Episcopal Church. But that's an action that can be taken that will make a difference. Then people are not sleeping on grates in our neighborhood. So it's not like it's on you or on me to solve the problem of homelessness in this city, but we can make a little bit of difference if we think about it. And all of us have different aptitudes and different ways of making that difference. But I really think it's, we tend to read this like article in the paper that is so heart-rending, and then just kind of put it in some compartment and not make it an action item in our life. So, another way we could say, instead of why do you put on your robe at the sound of the bell, we could say, why do you check your email when your computer goes bing? Why do you let your dog out at the sound of her bark? Why do you hold the hand of a friend? Why do you educate yourself about the social issues in this city? Doing each of these things is a natural actualizing of your role as a being here. Yes, the world is vast and wide, and we are right here in the midst of it. Master Shibayama, who is a modern or mid 20th century Zen master, commented on all of these cases in the Mumon Kan, and is wonderful. If you want to read the Mumon Kan, be sure and read Shibayama's version. I think his commentary is brilliant. And he quotes an old poem in his commentary on this koan, and the poem is this: "So thick the bamboos grow, yet they do not obstruct the running streams. So lofty the mountain is, yet it does not impede the white cloud flowing. So thick the bamboos grow, yet they do not obstruct the running streams. So lofty the mountain is, yet it does not impede the white cloud flowing." To be able to see that our actions don't depend on the outcome, on our expectations of outcome. We act. What can I do about this little girl named Dasani? What can I do? Well, maybe I can do something because there's a shelter right down the street. Maybe I could possibly engage some of my methadone crew that I walk by every morning and see myself pull back. The mountain is lofty, but the white cloud flows by. Can we offer what we can offer? Benefaction. To be benefaction. To actually act. Let me encourage you with this gatha. The bell is always sounding. Do you hear it? Can you respond? What does it take? A moment when you can let go and enter the realm of the bodhisattvas. Thank you for coming tonight.